Are you alive? What if somebody came up to you and said, are you alive? What would you say? Probably thinking in the back of your mind, what's the matter with this guy? This guy's really, really out of this. And you say, of course I'm alive. I eat. I grow. Or if you're more philosopher, you say, I think, therefore I am. You know, I speak, I walk, I work. Of course I'm alive. What you would not say is, oh, wait a minute, I have my birth certificate here, and my birth certificate says that so-and-so was born on this date. See, I'm alive. You wouldn't do that. And yet, sometimes, if somebody asks you, are you spiritually alive? The only thing you can point to is, well, way back when I asked Jesus in my heart, and there's my birth certificate. I'm alive. But you know, when the Bible says that we trust in the Lord, and I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt when you ask the Lord into your heart that He comes in and saves you. But when we trust in the Lord, His life begins, or is passed on to us, and is formed within us. The life of Christ, the song we just sang, our life is hid with Christ in God. In that same verse in Colossians, he says, Christ who is our life. The reason I'm alive is because His life came within me when I trusted Him. It wasn't because I earned it. I couldn't. It was given as a free gift, and by faith I receive it. But it doesn't stop there. That's only the beginning. Now, if you have nothing, we used to, back in the 70s, used to hear a phrase, you don't hear as much anymore, but people would say, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And the evidence is, what is the character of the life of Christ that's within me that should not just be hidden? Now, if all you can try to point out is, one time I said, Jesus, come in, and said, Lord, Lord, and that's it, then there's two options. One is, you're asleep, and you got to wake up. The other one is, you're dead. You know, you can't tell the difference between somebody who's asleep and somebody who's dead. They look the same. And the Lord doesn't want it to be like that for us. If we have truly trusted in Christ, He's our Lord, then He wants to form His life within us and to be expressed outwardly. But make your calling and election sure. You know, Paul was very concerned that he did not labor in vain. To labor in vain is, he's preaching the gospel to them and they hear it, but then they mouth the words, but that's as far as it goes. We've been studying in Thessalonians with them. That was not as far as it went. There were characteristics in them that showed the life of Christ living in them. That's why they could say, I'm alive. And what are those characteristics? Well, we'll go through. I eat. And let's look at a verse. 1 Peter chapter 2. As newborn babes, verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Did you ever see a baby? Do they desire milk? Do they let you know when they're hungry? Do you have to force feed them? No, he says, that's the way you as a believer, that's how you should desire God's word. To just like a newborn babe. Wow, he can't wait to get it. He wants that milk. That's his life as it grows. I mean, it's, if a baby doesn't want to eat, if we see a child not eating and we get concerned because we know that they're not going to grow, something's wrong. We take them to a doctor. But if we're believers and we don't have any desire for God's word, and let alone a desire as a baby desires it, ravenous for it. I might also add about dogs. We just got a new dog. And that dog, he likes to do a lot of different things and play. And he'll listen to his voice, our voices, except one time. Whenever there is food around, the dog is right there. And you can say anything else to him. You can try to play with him. And he ignores you. And it's amazing. His hearing. I have a little bag of snacks. And if I just touch it, I can hardly hear the bag crinkle a bit. He might be in the other room. And he comes darting in and jumps on the couch. Expecting something to eat. Food. He's obsessed with food. Well, a baby doesn't do a whole lot more than sleep and eat. And when they are hungry, they want food and they want it now. Is that the way you are with God's word? You know, the first meeting we sang, as the deer pants for the waters, so pants my soul for thee. That's the natural reaction of the life of Christ within us. We love his word. The Thessalonians, when they heard Paul preaching, they didn't hear Paul. They heard God. It was God speaking to their hearts. They heard his voice. When you come in to read the scriptures, do you hear God's voice? Can you say like Jacob, I will not let you go until you bless me. Remember when he wrestled with the Lord? When you come into God's word, when you hear that God is speaking to you, you say, Lord, I don't want to leave this passage until you bless me, until you give me a blessing from yourself. Look at some of the other verses where it talks about those that have the life of the Lord within them and put their thoughts on God's word. Is Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called to thy name, O Lord God of hosts. What does Jeremiah think of his word? The joy and rejoicing of my heart. When I opened this book, do you realize this book is a supernatural book? And it's God speaking. It's our food. If you neglect his word, you don't eat, something's wrong. If you're a believer and you don't eat, something's wrong. And it's so easy to neglect. The devil will make us too busy for the things of God. He would love to have you prosper in this world, with business and all this other kind of things, as long as you have no time for God's word and no time to sit before the Lord and hear him speak to you and return in prayer. Does everybody here have a time where you spend with the Lord and you say, Lord, this time's for you. Set aside other things. I want to feed upon your word. And wow, I want to be like Jeremiah. I want to look forward to that. That food is so good. Just the aroma of it. You know, do you ever, something good is cooking on the grill or in the oven, and you smell it and you say, oh man, I can't wait to start eating that. Well, that's the way God, the Lord within us, formed within us, is towards His Word, like a newborn babe. Psalm 119:97. In fact, that whole psalm, he just keeps talking about the Lord's Word. But then he says in verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day." Psalm 1 says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does He meditate day and night." Wow. Is that your desire? It's God's Word. Do you eat? Say, "I'm alive spiritually because I eat. And I eat good food. It's healthy food. It's the best food." I don't care what all the modern people say. When they contradict what God says, they're liars. They're deceived. Because what the Lord says, He knows us. He's the designer. He's the manufacturer. He's given us the manual of how to live by. And if somebody, no matter what they claim to intelligence, says the otherwise, I believe God. I trust Him. That's why we value His Word so much. That's why we love His Word so much. It is tried and proved over and over again. Meditate on it. Think about it. You can't sleep? Meditate on His Word. Let it become a part of you. It's like they say, chewing the cud over the animal. We take the food, just go over. And then it becomes a part of yourself. The Word of God and Christ will form our character. But we have to eat. That's one of the signs of our life. Another sign of our life is we grow. We don't stay the same size. We look at our children. In the first year or two, man, it's amazing how they grow. But if they stay at the same weight, same size, year after year after year, we'd say, "Well, I'm not happy about that. Something's wrong. Something's terribly wrong. We got to go to the doctor to find out what's wrong." But as a believer, sometimes there are believers that Paul had to write to them and say, "You should be eating food, solid food, and I'm still giving you milk." You know, if a child is 10 years old and they're only drinking milk, something's wrong. What about you as a believer? So you only have the milk and that's all you even have? You're not growing? As you feed upon Him and grow, we're told several times of how we ought to grow. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace. The more we learn about our salvation, the more we know it was all of grace. It was all God's free gift to us. We could never earn it. Never. Not in a million years. But God freely offers it to us. And we're amazed at His grace. When we come to the remembrance meeting and we think about the cost and everything, I think that the Lord, He loved me, yet He knew all about me. Such grace. And we grow in grace. What was that song time? It used to say, "Grow in grace so you won't groan in disgrace." You know, if you're not growing, something's wrong with you. You can't. That's part of your life. When somebody asks you, "Are you alive?" You say, "Well, I'm eating and I'm growing." "Oh, I'm not there yet. I'm not at the full mature man, but I'm growing." "Oh, yeah, I might stumble." And we all stumble. And we might stumble multiple times, but we keep getting up. We grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We grow in faith. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We're all growing, Ephesians 4:15, to reach to that mature man that God is, wants us to be, just like His Son. He so delights in His Son that He made a way to be able to take sinners, a lost race, and say, oh, I'm going to make them all like Him. I delight so much in Him, I want them all to be just like Him. And you know, our children, they watch us. They learn. You know, sometimes you'll see rebellious children and they'll say, I'll tell you what, when I grow up, I'm not going to be like my parents. And they don't realize that they're very much, everything they have learned and learned to imitate was from their parents. You know, where did they learn to talk? Do children just learn to talk on their own? No. Parents are there saying, say mama. Say mama. And dad's over there going, no, say dada. Dada. You know, and you're thrilled when they first make the same sounds. And before you know it, they're listening all the while. You know, amazing, their brains. From the moment of birth, and they cry, and they open their eyes, they're taking in all this data into their brain. And I don't know, doctors, maybe Mark will tell me about why this is based on it. They say that they don't see right away. I find that hard to believe because children, our children, when they were just born, and they opened their eyes, and they looked like they were taking it all in right from the moment of birth. But they learn to walk. You know, they're crawling on all fours all the time. And suddenly they stand up. And they hold on there, and then they try to take their first. And we're thrilled to watch it. And we're amazed at how much they imitate. And they walk just like you. And they talk just like you. They imitate. They learn it all from you. So that when they get older, say, I'm not going to be like them. They don't realize how much they're already like them. The hardest thing, of course, for us is to see them imitate bad things. But you know that they learn them from us. And then you have to correct them for something that we taught them. You know, that's probably the hardest thing as a parent. And the Lord tells us, hey, we've got to be good examples. We can't just say, do as I say, not as I do. They're watching us so closely. But we delight to see them grow and grow up so fast. But if they don't walk, if they don't talk, if they don't grow, if they don't eat, we're very much upset. But we said, eating is, how do I know I'm alive? I eat, I grow, I talk. I open my mouth. And Scripture tells us a lot about that. Colossians 4:6. You know, when the Lord comes in and forms His life within us, He changes the way you talk. There's many a believer who said, you know, before I got saved, I had the most filthy mouth. And the Lord came in and changed my speech. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You start to speak His words and talk like He talks. Grace, seasoned with salt. Do you remember Peter? He wanted to follow the Lord. He truly thought he wouldn't deny the Lord. But he failed because of self-confidence. But when he was in that courtyard, and he would deny, and the third time, when they noticed, they said, wait a minute. You're one of them also, because your speech betrays you. You talk like a Galilean. You know, you talk like that. Does our speech betray us? I mean, he shouldn't have to betray us. Our speech should be outward for the Lord. We should talk the way he spoke. We should be mouthpieces for him. And the natural desire when we get saved and we say, I'm alive, is like the Thessalonians. Paul looks back. He says, I'm here in Athens or in Corinth, and people are coming up to me and saying, do you hear what's going on in Thessalonica? Do you hear what these believers, these people who were following idols, they are going around telling people about the Messiah, about how they found Christ. He changed their lives. They sounded it forth. They were trumpets for the gospel. Are you alive? Are you sharing what the Lord has done for you? The Gadarene, who was the man who was demon-possessed, he wanted to go follow the Lord. And the Lord said, no, go back to your home. Go back to your city and tell them how great things God has done for you. That was the natural response of Christ formed in himself. His life is to speak for him. And he did. He went throughout the Decapolis, the 10 cities, and told them all about what great things the Lord has done for us. The lepers of Samaria, they're starving, with cities starving within, cities surrounded by the enemy. And God chased the enemy away at night. And the lepers, they go in there. Well, they say, you know what? We might as well go to the camp of the Syrians because we're going to die of starvation here, just outside. They wouldn't even let them in the city because they were lepers. And they say, well, we're just going to die anyway, so what do we got to lose? So they go in one tent, and everything's there. And then they start stuffing their pockets. They start eating as much as they can. Then they go to the next tent, and suddenly they're so rich. And they have everything, all kind of food. And people are in the city starving. And what was their natural response? We're not right in keeping this to ourselves. This is a day of good news. This is a gospel. And there's a city right here of starving people. If we hold our tongue, woe on us. And so they go in and they tell them. At first they won't believe, but then they go out. They find out that it's true. Well, you see, that's just the sign of life is you talk. You share the gospel of what God has done with you. Are you sharing? When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody, told them what the Lord has done for you? Are you reading his word? Are you growing? Are you talking? There are signs of life. The woman at the well, ostracized from the Samaritans, she meets a man who told her everything that he did. And what does she do? She leaves her water pot, goes into the city and says, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? That was the natural response of meeting the Lord. Transformed her speech. She shared. She talked with the Lord. Another sign of your life. And of course, you speak because of the abundance of your heart. You know, the mind of Christ also comes within us and changes the way we think. And that's what overflows with our lips. It's not just a put-on. It comes from within, the mind of Christ, our thought life. But we also walk in the Lord. Again, we see our children. We see them get up and walk. And it's an amazing feat. Especially, you know, Sometimes you've seen a child only 8 or 9 months old, tiniest little baby, and they're walking around. I said, how are they walking so soon, so early? They're so little. And they're walking around, not even falling. And you're just kind of amazed at it. It is kind of miraculous when you think about it. And the Lord calls on us as believers, we're not to crawl around like babies all the time. If we never walked, again, our parents would be upset. We've got to take them to the doctor, find out what's wrong. You know, about a year old, they should be walking. And we're encouraging them to walk. Yeah, they may stumble. Now, you encourage them to get up, and even though they stumble, get up again. Now, you watch so they don't fall down the steps. But you want them to keep trying till they get their balance and they're walking like... Now, do you think about balancing yourself when you get up in the morning? Well, maybe we get older a little bit, we think about it. And sometimes when we play pickleball, we lose our balance. But usually we don't even think about it. And then you look at some of these athletes. When we were little, we had a hard time even balancing. Now, gymnasts are doing backflips and all this kind of thing. Of course, if your one-year-old baby starts doing backflips, you might want to take him to the doctor too. But to walk is a tremendous thing. And Paul talks a lot about walking. In Ephesians particularly. In Ephesians 2:10, and we had some of these verses earlier. But the first part of Ephesians really tells us the right place of works. It is not for our salvation. We can never earn it. It's a free gift. But once we're saved, look at verse 10. We realize that salvation is His work, not ours. We're His workmanship. But we're created in Christ Jesus, for what? For good works. For good works. Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We should walk in good works when we're believers. We should do good works. We should let our light so shine before men that they should see what? Our good works. And glorify our Father in heaven. Not to earn our salvation. But it's the result of the life of Christ formed within us. James says, look, you can talk all you want about faith, but if it doesn't produce fruit, if it doesn't produce good works, is your faith real? The Lord says in that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this, didn't I do that? The Lord says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Do you have the characteristics of the life of Christ within you? When somebody says, are you alive? Do you have to try to point them to your birth certificate? Or do you say, look, yeah, I'm alive. Christ liveth in me. And He lives out of me. And how are we to walk? Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and gave Himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Is that how you walk? In love to, you know, those that are begotten of God, they love Him that begot them. And they love those who are begotten of Him. You love fellow believers. You love God. It's the atmosphere in which we walk. Love. And then, let's see. Wow. walk in light. 5:8. For you were sometimes darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk in love. Walk in light as children of light. God is love and God is light. Grace and truth. You know, the perfect balance between them. Not grace without truth. Not love without light, or light without love, because that's the character of God. That's the character of Christ. And we're to take on His character. When we come to Scripture, we have to come with an open mind and say, Lord, You form my thoughts. You form my character. Before I was saved, this is the way I walked, and I was in that habit of living that way. I know that that needs to change. I know that I want to be more like You. I want to have my life conform to Your image so that when people see me, they're reminded that I have been with Jesus. Walk in love and a walk in light. 5:15. See that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. That you walk carefully, wisely, being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. To, you know, study the Proverbs. You know, it's written for people who are simple. It'll make you wise, wiser than your teachers. It will teach you to discern characters. Different, you know, the fool and the wise man. You know, and the slugger. You know, and the diligent. All those kinds of things. The Scripture will make us wise unto salvation. That's what Paul tells Timothy. From a baby he knew the Holy Scriptures. The sooner you get your children to learn Scripture, the better. They'll be blessed. 1 Thessalonians 4:12. We had it the other week in our walk. That you may walk honestly to them that are without. The word actually means to walk attractively. Somebody said, saints are those that make holiness attractive. You know, our lives are such that the world looks at it and are attracted to believers. And then they actually come and ask you of the reason of the hope that's in you. And you can share with them of what the Lord has done for you. This is our walk. This is how we should follow the Lord. These are the characteristics of the life of Christ lived within us. 1 John 2:6 says, we need to walk as He walked. In John chapter 1, verse 36, it says, they looked on Jesus as He walked. So are you alive? Do you have to say, wake up? Maybe you're truly saved. But if you can't, if you have no desire for God's Word, if you never grow, you never speak for Him, you don't walk, you're crawling around in this world, then examine your heart. Have you really trusted in the Lord? Or are you dead? Or if you're asleep, then you wake up. You need to wake up. It's high time you woke up. Paul tells those that sleep. Because God has been here for a purpose and He wants to conform us to the image of His Son and not to the image of this world. Shall we close in prayer? Lord, we thank you for your salvation. And that we know that when you save us, you keep us. And we do pray, Lord, for any here that are saved but are asleep, they would wake up. Pray for any that are dead spiritually, that have never really trusted you, that have followed their own way, which only leads to destruction, that they would realize that you give them a free gift of life in Christ Jesus to receive by faith, and they might trust in you and own you as Lord of their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.